All right, so good to see you guys tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1. And we'll begin tonight in verse 20, Proverbs 1. And as I've said, and as you know, this was a book of wisdom, and Solomon didn't write all of it. He wrote most of the book of Proverbs, but he didn't write the whole thing in its entirety to us. But I've spoken to so many of you that, and it's wonderful that you read a proverb every day, and obviously through the month you can read through it. And I was talking to my wife, and you think you know your wife. She said, "You know I've done that since I was a teenager." I said, "I didn't know that. How'd they get by me?" But Shelley has read through Proverbs every month since she was a teenager. I said, "I don't know how that got by me, but that's great. That's good." And I know many of you probably do as well. But tonight I've titled our message, Wisdom's Plea. It's about wisdom here, obviously. And what we see here in verses, in the beginning verses, wisdom is offered to us. Wisdom is offered to us, and we begin again in chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will you scoffers delight in the scoffing and the fools, and fools hate knowledge? So we see here that wisdom cries out aloud, come gain wisdom. There's nothing secret about wisdom. There's nothing underhanded about wisdom. And what he's saying here, it's not hidden. Wisdom is not hidden. It's there for the taking if you'll take it. It's open to everyone. It's available to all. It's visible. It's audible to those who have eyes to see, ears to hear. I thought it was interesting as I read that quote this morning from J.C. Ryle talking about how Christians have such a low view of themselves often because, you'll hear somebody like Steve Lawson, John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul teach, and you think, man, I don't know anything. They just have such insight, such depth into the Word. And so you think small of yourself as a Christian. You're like, well, I'm just me. I don't know anything. But remember, knowledge is great. Never to take away from knowledge. We're always to seek knowledge. But God looks upon your heart. Again, that's not an excuse not to gain knowledge, but God looks upon your heart. I met a man the other day, and I instantly liked him. I'd never met him before, and first time meeting him, and I could tell as we were talking, we probably weren't on the same page theologically, and it started when he asked me, he said, "What kind of Baptist church is this?" I said, "Well, it's a Reformed Baptist." And he said, "What in the world is that?" When he asked that question, I'm like, yeah. And he told me a little bit about his church. And so we probably wouldn't line up on some things theologically, but I instantly liked this guy. And I could tell he was a good man. And I knew he'd given a lot of money to missions and things, very generous, supporting various missionaries and various missionary endeavors. But again, we probably wouldn't line up on everything. But I could tell this was a good brother in the Lord. And so, but this knowledge, this wisdom, it's available to us. There are secret societies, you've read about them, lodges, mystery religions all over the world. And they require something. They require special knowledge. You see some of these clubs around town, and growing up in Virginia, I would know some of these places where they didn't have windows, and it was a secret society. And there's cults that participate in these sacred rites, And they have things you have to do to be a member of, initiations. They offer knowledge and power, but you have to climb through these mazes to be part of these secret societies. But wisdom that we hear in the Bible, the wisdom we read that's talked about here in Proverbs 1 will have nothing to do with secret cults that operate in darkness. No, not at all. This wisdom, she offers treasures, and it's in the daylight, and it calls to everyone. The red flag should go up if somebody wants you to join a club or society and it's a secret society. Red flag should fly, because the wisdom here is for everyone. It's there for the taking. It calls to everyone. And here in these verses, it describes wisdom's places. It says, wisdom cries aloud in the street, in the markets. She raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. So it's calling out. And when it starts naming places here, it's where the people are. Cries out to the people. Wisdom advertises her presence. Man's wisdom can be found wherever men are found, and where God's wisdom can be found is wherever the scripture is taught. That's insightful to us. God's wisdom can be found where the word is being taught. And that's a wonderful thing about our church. We have several teachings here, don't we? If you want to learn about Philippians, you got an opportunity. If you want to learn about Proverbs, you got an opportunity. Sunday school, we have the Sunday school hour. We're preaching on Sunday morning. If you want to get God's godly wisdom, it should be said of every church, but I'm thankful here you can come and you can learn, get wisdom. Where it says the city gates here, the city gates are often talked about in the Bible. They were busy spots in Bible times. All the commerce of a city flowed through its gates. The markets were located at the gates. The city government held its various meetings at the gate. So by mentioning the gates, Solomon was telling us to seek wisdom where people are. He's urging us to look and to listen. And wisdom can be found where the wise judge is, where wise judges rule. Wisdom can be found where there's a successful businessman. You can find wisdom from him. Occasionally, wisdom can even be found from the mouth of a fool, the Bible tells us. Yes? So wisdom is available today. The world's wisdom is available. My goodness, there are so many books being printed. You can get on the internet, you pick a subject, and you can Google it. And all this knowledge about this subject will just flow out of your computer. How to pronounce a word, I mean, it's there. Any time in our world, you can learn. So we think about gaining worldly wisdom. It's there. Wisdom can be found everywhere. And now we need to separate it from a lot of folly that may come with it. We have to be discerning. But the key verse, I believe, Psalm 111:10, and it says in this search, by remembering that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we see that we find true wisdom when we acknowledge God. So I think all of you probably tonight are on the right track. True wisdom is when we acknowledge God, we're a follower of God, and we're a seeker of God. So that's the foundation. You got to have a foundation So to obtain true wisdom, God is the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We find that true wisdom when we begin to acknowledge God. Because He is the source of true wisdom and He is the God of the Word. And we see in verses 22 and 23 what wisdom pleads. What it pleads. Because I believe if you ask the average person, you say, do you want wisdom? Do you want to be wise? Who would say no to that? But how many know that it begins with the fear of the Lord? Not everybody knows that. So wisdom pleads for the thoughtless to stop and look and to listen. Verse 22. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? How long? And we know people like that. You try to counsel them. You try to impart wisdom, and they just don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me about that. I don't want to hear that. And so it's wonderful when you meet someone and you're trying to impart wisdom to them, and they listen, or they begin to listen. So what wisdom pleads? So many people today, they cannot be bothered with wisdom. And that's kind of indicative in a lot of our society. They don't want to be bothered with wisdom. Why are the churches so often half full, if that? People don't want to be bothered with wisdom. You give them money, they waste it. Give them a job, they'll dissipate that. They'll dissipate their opportunities. Offer them an education, and they will not study. That's one thing that's been a blessing to me is I've been able to travel in some of the other countries. And because you guys know I went to Haiti a lot for 20 years. And to see the way those students would study, you'd see them under a tree. And they would have books, and they would just be memorizing long passages of scripture. They'd be studying, and because we had schools down there, but just to see the diligence of their study habits. And I can only think that they wanted to be wise. They wanted to learn. And one of the things, as we worked with GSM over those 20 years, that so many of the graduates of that school went on to have instrumental positions in government and judges, teachers, lawyers, all kinds of things. But they lived in a very, very poor country. But they were taking advantage of their education and learning, and we saw it firsthand. So a lot of times people, you offer them an education, and they're not diligent at all. You give them opportunities, they don't take advantage of them. Again, you offer them education, they if they study, it's haphazard. In the summer, they idle away their time. In the winter, they find themselves out of work, poorly dressed, maybe inadequately housed. Nothing could be further from their minds than wisdom. Wisdom. That's why it's so wonderful to read through this book, because it reminds you, wisdom's there. It calls out. Learn. Learn. Be imparted with wisdom. Wisdom points the scorners, the simple and the foolish, to a spiritual experience. In verse 23, if you turn at my reproof, wisdom says, if you turn at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit to you, and I will make my words known to you. Don't you love that? I will make my words known to you. Paul called one of the first New Testament names for the Holy Spirit. We see in Ephesians, Paul called him the Spirit of Wisdom. The Spirit of Wisdom, Ephesians 1:17. True wisdom has a spiritual quality to it, doesn't it? A spiritual quality to it. True wisdom turns away from the wisdom of the world, 1 Corinthians 1:23, we see. which knows little or nothing at all of God. It's often sensual, James 3:15. And again, Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true wisdom. So when we are confronted, will we seek wisdom? Will we seek wisdom? When you're confronted with ungodly material, atheistic material, humanistic philosophies, will we discard that, what they provide for true wisdom? Because true wisdom will not keep company with ungodly philosophies at all. Will we seek true wisdom? True wisdom. There's a story, true story of the life of Charles Darwin. It illustrates that fact, the life of Charles Darwin. And his father was paying, obviously paying for all of his education. And Charles Darwin, as a young student, was not a diligent student, not at all. And he was to study. He was studying medicine and wasn't doing well. His father was annoyed with his behavior and brought him home, demanded that he make some changes. So then they sent him off to Cambridge, where he studied but wasn't diligent, wasted more time, more money at Cambridge. For a while, Darwin, he still ascribed to the 39 Articles of the Church of England. He even would quote and argue to win his arguments. He would quote Bible text to people he was debating. And so he vacillated a long time before he finally published his Origin of Species, and he released it. And A.R. Wallace, a professor at Cambridge who was a geologist, recognized immediately what his motive was. And Mr. Wallace said of his Origin of Species, he said, "It is a dish of rank materialism, cleverly cooked and served up merely to make us independent of a creator." To make us independent of a creator. And so Darwin, we see what he did, his trajectory was mild at first. Nobody really recognized the work. But there was a man, his name is T.H. Huxley. He read it and he was obviously not a believer at all. And he recognized as an unbeliever how he could really make his reputation and his money off of Darwin's work. And so T.H. Huxley, he was a brilliant mind from what we read. He went to the East End of London, taught himself German, and read other and studied other advanced books on geology, logic. And after years of this, Huxley saw the possibilities of Darwin's theories. He could use them. He could piggyback on Darwin's writing for his own benefit. And so Darwin had to decide, was he going to allow this man to take his work and publicize his work? What would he do with it? And obviously he didn't make a wise call. He accepted Huxley's offer to become Darwin's bulldog, to snarl and snap at those who rejected Darwin's theories. And Huxley is actually the person who invented the word agnostic. That's Huxley's word. He invented the word agnostic. And he saw the theory of evolution, what it would do for him. It would make him money. It would bring him fame. But the main thing, it would be his way to bite at the ministers in London, in England. He saw it as a way to come back at the ministers who preached the gospel, whom he hated. The theory would give men a working avenue for atheism and give him a platform on which he could make himself famous. So as for Darwin, he paid dearly. Now again, remember, raised in a Christian home. And in his choice of what he would do, what he would grasp, was not wisdom. No. One scholar wrote about Darwin, psychologically, there could be little doubt he was suffering from a feeling of guilt. Not long before the death of Darwin, the Duke of Argyll talked to him at his deathbed. He tried to rekindle, and I love what this guy was doing. On his deathbed, he tried to rekindle in Darwin, in his soul, his lost knowledge and belief in God. Isn't that a wonderful picture? This man of God going to this man who didn't believe in God, but once had said he did, and tried to rekindle, before he left this world, belief in God. It is said Darwin just shook his head and expressed his own spiritual hopelessness and confusion. His own hopelessness and confusion. You know, in studying this, you know, you've heard us mention we've had two funerals here this weekend. And to know those two ladies that that we remembered this weekend, both of them love God. Love God. I remember Aunt Betty up in her late 80s and 90s. Boy, you know, I'd preach and she'd say, you know, I've studied that for years and I didn't see that. I'd never seen that. This is wonderful. At that late age in life, still devouring the Word, still studying the Word. And the same for Mrs. Robbins. She was known in our community to love God, to love the Lord, and to point people to Christ. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. How do you want to live out the end of your life? Certainly pointing people to Christ, certainly devouring the Word of God, studying the Word of God, continually learning. True wisdom. True wisdom. Well, we know we can't have it both ways. We have to choose between the wisdom of God's Word and the foolishness of such theories. And I'm always reminded of that because when I share the gospel with people, I'll tell them much about what I preached on this morning. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And, you know, we can defend that. And you know what everybody's response typically is? Well, I think there's another way. I think there's another way. I'm like, all right, let's have it. What's your way? And they don't know. They don't know. They can never give you a good answer. Of course they can't. They don't have an answer. They don't know. But we know. We have true wisdom because we devour the Bible and we read the Bible. We know the way. We know the truth. We know the life only comes through the Son. That's true wisdom. But everybody you talk to, I told you one time when I worked for Pepsi, I was riding around with my boss one day and sharing Christ with him. And he said, Jeff, I think the Indians had it right. And I just shook my head. I said, the Indians? What are you talking about? The Indians? What did they get right? About eternal life. Eternal life is only in Christ. So we see, beginning in verse 24, wisdom is offended by men. The refusal, verse 24 and 25, because I have called and you refuse to listen, have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. And that's the picture of you refuse my wisdom. God gives us, he will grant us wisdom. It's there, it's out in the open, it's at the gate. Come receive it. Come get my wisdom, God says. And here wisdom says, you refuse my wisdom. You refuse my wisdom. I'm offering it. Here it is. We read, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We can get wisdom. you can get wisdom. Well, it refused. Wisdom is offended by men. Wisdom reproves men because its call is disregarded. It called and you refused. You can picture a pause in the verse, the preceding one, that wisdom takes her stand, outstretched arms, at the great intersection of life. And you know, we're at an intersection in life, in your life. Will you choose wisdom or will you not? Will you choose wisdom or will you reject wisdom? I think I told a story the other day. Shelley ran into a person used to go here, my goodness, about 15 years ago. Sweet person that we've known. And, you know, the question, you know, we run into people we know, I know you do, that you know, and you haven't seen them in a while, and conversation went, well, where do you guys go to church? And Dennis and I are always asking people, where y'all go to church? We see people. And the lady said, we haven't been to church in 15 years. And you know what? That's a picture of rejecting wisdom. There's no wisdom in that statement. Well, the whole Bible flies against that statement. You know, you're the... There's so many verses. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Love the church. Invest in the church. Jesus loved the church so much he died for the church. How can you say, I'm not going to go for 15 years? You know, you have to say, is that person even saved? Because at least it's a picture of rejecting wisdom. You're not going to come and subject yourself to the church, to the worship of God every week. You're going to reject all that? That's rejecting wisdom. That's what he's talking about here. Folks, we're on a brief journey. A brief journey from the womb to the tomb. And apart from this wisdom, this divine wisdom, we have no satisfying answer to all of life's most important questions. And there's so many important questions, aren't there? And if we don't have wisdom, we don't have the answer. We don't have the answer. But I know where we can get the answer. It's in the Word. It's in the Word of God. And so in verse 25, because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Verse 26 says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. Wisdom says, I will mock when terror strikes you. It starts out, here's the wisdom. It's in the broad daylight. It's at the gate. It's at the corner of the street. Here's wisdom. Come get it. And how often do we sadly see people just reject the wisdom? They just reject the wisdom. Her call is despised. When wisdom came to Cain, after God rejected his offering, he went away angry in a rage. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted at the door? Genesis 4, 6 and 7. Wisdom was urging Cain to acknowledge that his religious notions were unacceptable to God. Wisdom was urging him to emulate his righteous brother's example. A sin offering was at hand. All Cain had to do was avail himself of the salvation of God that the Lord had provided for him. But yet Cain despised the way of wisdom. He despised the way of wisdom. He murdered Abel. He became a fugitive and went out of from the presence of God. Cain founded a godless civilization, one that could have no final end but the flood. He denied wisdom. And he was the first murderer. He was the first murderer. Why? He defied wisdom. He defied wisdom. And these choices in life often they'll mark us. Mark Cain, didn't it? And he had to pay a great price. He did. So what's the reaction in verses 26 through 28? Wisdom's first reaction is to the deliberate choice of folly. It's one of derision in verse 26. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when terror strikes. You think about the people who forged the Soviet Union many, many years ago. The Soviet Union embraced atheistic communism. It was promoted by the Bolshevik Revolution. And remember, the Bolshevik Revolution, they hated God. They hated God. One friend of Lenin, he expressed the attitude of the Soviet Union towards God. He said, "We shall grapple with the Lord God in due season." He said, he actually said this, "We shall vanquish him from his highest heaven. And wherever he seeks refuge, and we shall subdue him forever." Can you imagine saying that about God? God responded, "Is that so?" We see his answer in Psalm 2:4. "He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision." So when this man said this, 75 years passed, and you saw what happened to the Soviet Union not so many years ago. It fell apart. It fell apart. And what happened was they became an enemy of the world. And what's incredible about that, it's happening again. He said, "I'll have them in derision." Where are they at today? I mean, they bounced back a little bit with Gorbachev. But where are they at today? Alienated from the world, hated by the world. We look at Putin. What's the result of despising wisdom? Well, it's desolation. It's desolation. That's what it is. In verse 27, "When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. Then they will call upon me, but wisdom says, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me." What an incredible warning to all of us, especially to young people. You're beginning your life. You're beginning your lives. Will you reject wisdom? Will we reject wisdom? Solomon said, it's there. It's at that city gate. It's in the public place. Seek wisdom, seek wisdom. Will you seek it? Imagine the incredible story of Lot. With Lot, he returned to Sodom after the incredible war described in Genesis 14, and though he was rescued by Abraham, Lot learned nothing. Lot learned nothing. Did he seek to be restored to the fellowship of God's people? No. He returned to Sodom and took the family with him. Still worse, he accepted even a promotion and became one of Sodom's magistrates, sworn to uphold their filthy lifestyle. And a tempest indeed, desolation came. And one night of horror, Lot lost his family. He lost his fortune. He ended up a drunk. He ended up dishonored in the hills beyond the stricken cities of the plain. We see that in Genesis 19, verses 30 through 38. So, despising wisdom results in destruction. And you see it over and over and over again. Lives of people we know, people we read about, they reject the wisdom of God and it leads to destruction. And I'll tell you, this destruction in the world, your maybe your career, maybe your reputation, but ultimately your eternity. I mean, the Bible, again, it's filled with wisdom. What we preached on this morning, how can we know God? How can we go from being alienated to God to be reconciled to God through Christ Jesus? How many reject that wisdom? How many reject the truth of this Bible that we have in our you have in your laps? Ultimately, it will lead to their eternal destruction. And so I just encourage you, I'll stop there. Destruction means calamity. Calamity. And so for us folks, I think probably everybody in this room, you want wisdom. You desire wisdom. You understand what true wisdom is at the beginning of it. It's truly in the fear of the Lord. And so I pretty much assume everybody here desires. Why would you come to church on Sunday evening? I think you desire wisdom, biblical, godly wisdom. But we also need to remember most in the world are not where you're at. They're not seeking wisdom. We can tell them. In the knowledge and biblical wisdom that God has given us, we can help people. You guys, y'all pay me to do that. I can't tell you how many meetings I have every month, and I'm sitting down with somebody, and they got a problem or they have an issue, and a lot of times these folks don't even attend our church, and I just try to point them to the Bible. Jeff's got two things. When somebody sits down and talks to me, I got two things. I got the Holy Spirit in me, and I got the Bible. I got the verses. If I don't have it memorized, I know pretty much where I can find it. So that's how I can point them to the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit working within me, to God what comes out of my mouth and give me the words that He wants me to say and bring to my mind to counsel someone. Because I want them to have wisdom. And that wisdom's found right here. It's right here. And so you dear folks, you know, we are here. We're gonna end one day. We're gonna end one day. We won't be able to continue on the earth. We're gonna die. We're gonna go to heaven. But until God calls us home, engage humanity, engage men and women that you see, point them to Christ, show them where they can gain wisdom, because most people are what we just read about. They're rejecting it. God has given us wisdom. We can Google John MacArthur, we can Google R.C. Sproul, and they can hear a wonderful sermon. I told you the other day a lady was here, she was a visitor, and she said, "You said justification." She said, "I'd never heard that word." And she said, "I went home and all week long I just Googled justification." And she said, "I found sermons by all these great preachers." And she says, "Now I know what that means. And it's such an important word in my life. Wisdom." She had the sense to research one of the most important biblical words, being just, justification, being made right before our God. So you folks here tonight, so many of you have great wisdom. You've walked with the Lord for a long time. You've got great wisdom. Don't keep it. Don't keep it. Give that wisdom out. Point people to Christ. Point them to Him. So many people we meet are on the wrong, they're on the wrong track. And they need to get on the track of godly wisdom. Let God use you. Let God use you. Make some more friends. Get some lost friends. I'm looking for lost friends. If I meet somebody that I know's messed up spiritually, maybe they're in the Catholic Church, I'll be their friend. We can talk about these things. I'm looking for people to bring into my life that I can impart some wisdom to them. We want to help them. I told you the other day, somebody, I think I told Dennis this, some young guy came to me, and he's my friend. And I really know him through my kids, that he wanted to switch churches. And he came to see me, and he said, well, I'm thinking about leaving my church, and these are the two churches I want to go to. And I just smiled at him. I said, you know, I wouldn't go to either of those churches. And he looked at me like, Jeff. And I said, I could tell you why. He pretty much knew. But I said, this is why I wouldn't go to those churches. I said, they don't believe in total depravity. They don't believe salvation is in Christ alone. I said, there are a lot of good people, I'm sure, that go to those churches. I said, but I wouldn't go to either one of them. And it just led to a great conversation. But he knows clearly about salvation completely. So I just encourage you folks, God's given us wisdom through this book. Don't keep it. Share the wisdom of this book with people. Help people. The wisdom's there. The wisdom's there. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the word tonight. Lord, it's such a great, such a delight to open your word, to look at these verses, Lord, and the truth just leaps off the pages for us. It warns us. It warns us. Oh, God, we thank you for the warnings that we have from the Bible, Lord. And here tonight, Lord, that we would have wisdom. And we know that wisdom comes from the fear of you, trusting you, oh, great God. And, Lord, we pray. Lord, we know that we'll be tempted to stray in various ways, even in wasting our time. But God, give us, impart wisdom to us. Help us to stay in the Word every day, reading it, applying Scripture to our lives. And also, God, to help people, men and women, brothers and sisters. Use us, O God. Use us, O God, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.